Hey everyone, welcome back to The Advisor. My name is Lisa Urbanski, co-host of the show. So passionate about the topic that we are jumping into today. I've really been down this journey. So many people are going down this journey, and that's the journey of processing emotions and feeling and healing and all of those things that so many of us are not good at doing, taking that time. Joining me today is a woman that is often described as a living miracle. She has been through so many things. She carries the belief that life is a blend of miracle, magic, salt and light, goodness and beauty. And her message is so powerful. Never let your experiences define your worth or limit your potential because there's only one you in this world. I'm so excited to introduce you to her. Before I do, I just want to send a quick shout out to iHeartRadio and Spreaker. We love you. Thank you for your sponsorship. And to our audience, thank you so much for tuning in, for supporting us. I just need you to do one thing, and that is like and subscribe. And I will not ask you for anything else. Our guest today is Cindy Dalai. Welcome back. How's it going?
Oh, everything is going good. It's up and down, but that's life. But it's
Yeah,
good.
let's talk about that because you were saying, today you didn't really have that great of a day. There's things that were happening. So you had to do different things to accommodate for your emotions. And that's what we're here to talk about.
Yeah, because what we don't realize is that I think we were talking about this before, and what we don't realize is that we are humans and emotions are part of our life. None of us can be so controlled or so in charge of everything that we forget that we feel. And sometimes our emotion is not just when something traumatic happens, or like you suffer a loss of a loved one, or you get in an accident, or you suffer an illness, or you go through a divorce, or something, or think a breakup, or lose a friend, or something like that. We do feel, even if we're in traffic, our emotions get involved because you get anxious, you get irritated, you get all these things, and we don't realize that our emotions impact us to a large extent. And by not recognizing all these things, we let ourselves get carried away on this sometimes a roller coaster of up and down. Because, like I was saying today, like I was okay, I got up, everything was fine, and then I started feeling like, when you start thinking about all the things in your life and all the things you have to do, and I started doing something, and then I thought, oh my God, no, I don't like this, and I'm feeling like I'm disappointed in some things I'm contented with, some things, I'm skeptical about. And I said, no. I said, this is not happening today, not today. So I changed. I went to visit a friend, walked around and stuff like that. And when I came back home, it was like, hey, okay. That actually did me good. I'm a better frame of mind and stuff like that. And now I can actually sit down and do what I wanted to do for the rest of the day.
Yeah, and you're
Yeah.
sitting here having this chat with me. I love that. I had a
Yeah.
conversation with one of my mentors and someone who's on my healing journey, helping me on my healing journey. And I said to him, I said, after going through the session, is it normal to feel A, B, C, D, E? And he said to me, everything is normal. And that really shook me in that moment because I think people forget that. It is normal to live. It is normal to feel. It is normal when we wake up to be a certain way. But we're so much of the time pretending to be a certain way or wanting to be a certain way or trying to act a certain way that we actually don't take the time to sit and feel. So I really loved what he said because it really made me stop to think that everything is normal. Everything is normal. We just have to learn how to manage those deep, deep moments, those moments where we feel crappy, where we feel sad, where we're crying and we don't like that, but we need to process that instead of running from it. So I like what you said. You got up, you went for a walk. You weren't feeling great. You got up, you went for a walk, you saw some friends, and that changed the energy. And you were able to tap into a higher energy, which helped make you feel better.
Yeah, it does. And what When we go through something that is traumatic or painful or difficult, what we find sometimes is that you tend to tell yourself, oh, this is too much, and I have to take control of it. And so trying to take control of a situation sometime and be in charge of everything, we forget the most important thing, and that if you want to grow, if you want to know yourself better and know your triggers and what causes you to react in situations, and if you want to know more about what really or who really you are, you have to face it. And a lot of people don't like facing things. They prefer to find an easy way out, or they prefer to say, well, they minimize it. Or they said, well, okay, it's not so bad. Other people have gone through it before. And I went through something like this before, so I can get through it, and yes, everything is impermanent because life is impermanence. But at the same time, what you have to realize is that what you carry in you is related to you alone. You can't compare looking at someone acting in a situation and then say, well, I can do that too. That's not you because you're not feeling the same thing. They may not feel the same emotions that you feel. And not everybody feels the same emotion to the same extent. Like, you may be in traffic and you get irritated and you get upset. And, it's like, why these cars aren't driving? Why is this, and I don't want to be here and I'm going to be late or whatever. Now, me, I would say, a lot of people are really busy today, boy. And you look around. And I'll look at things that I would normally not see or not have time to look at. It may be, oh, there are so many different kind of cars. Look at all these different colors, Or you can look out at the landscape. And well, this is what I do anyway. So you may react to traffic as, this tedious thing you have to go through all the time. But if you kind of say, okay, yeah, I'm in traffic. This happens. And I don't have to get upset because the more you focus on the fact that you're in traffic and you're going to be late, and the more you think about it, the more you will find yourself building on it, and you'll keep saying, I'm going to be late and I don't like this. And that carries over for where you reach where you are. You carry that same attitude with you and those same feelings in you, and it may take you a while to de-stress. And you're wasting energy because, one, you can't change the situation. Two, it's something that you have to go through if you want to go from one place to the other place. And three, you owe it to yourself to at least spend time looking around you. Because a lot of time we don't do that. We don't spend time focusing on why do I get vexed every time there is traffic? How can I use this time? If I'm in traffic, maybe I could listen to a song. Maybe I can hear something new. Maybe I can look around. You have to learn to distract yourself and detach yourself sometimes from situations. Now, in terms of connection to other people, that's a totally different thing because that's a lot harder to do, especially if you're involved with someone and they trigger your emotions by saying the wrong thing or you're expecting something from someone. Okay, so you're in a meeting and you expect everybody to be supportive because, this is a good idea and you all are supposed to work together as a team. And yet, they don't support you, or what you get is a kind of lackadaisical attitude, and you find yourself getting irritated because. But then you have to tell yourself, listen, okay, maybe they're not in the same wavelength with me. Maybe my expectations were too high. Maybe I need to explain things in a different way. Maybe I should listen to other people, what exactly they think, and then maybe I'm trying to control everything and put my idea in front of everybody. Maybe I should see if there are other things that input people can use and we can incorporate everything. So you see, our emotions govern us to a large extent because it doesn't just affect us, it also affects other people. And when we suffer something like a trauma, like for instance, you lost someone who died or you had a breakup in a relationship, that impacts you very hard. And it is painful. And sometimes you don't want to see it. We know the emotions, but we don't want to feel. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to go through. I don't remember all these things, I don't like how I feel, but if I just say, okay, That's it. Life happens. These things happen in life. Yeah, these things happen in life, but you also have to face it and you have to acknowledge what you are feeling.
Absolutely. There's so much to unpack there. Like everybody is going through their own thing. I like to say that everyone is in their own movie. We're all in our own movie. We all are the directors of our own movie. Those moments in traffic where, back up. We are in a rush most of the time. Mostly everybody's in a rush these days. There's so many things going on. So I really love what you said about stopping and really noticing things, because we're in a rush to go nowhere, really. Like we're being forced to do something based on these expectations of what we think we're supposed to be doing, when really we need to sit back and we need to think about, what is it that I actually want? Why am I irritated right now? What is actually causing the irritation? Because most of the time, it's not the person who is sitting beside you in traffic. 9 times out of 10, it's not that person, unless they cut you off and did something really annoying. It's deep-rooted issues. So people really have to start looking at that and being true to who they really are, because we have the power to transform and to really dive into what we need and want out of life. And I know it's not always easy, but we can start that journey. But it is beautiful to stop and to really see the world. I know a lot of times I'm running a million miles an hour during the day, and then there's those days where I get to take a walk in the forest, and then I'm like, oh, I'm just in awe of the beauty of little things, and it is such a good thing for my mental health. Like, I just feel so alive and so centered. It's a shame not more people do that more often.
No, and sometimes it's like we are so competing with ourselves. We don't realize we are, but we are competing with ourselves sometimes to just, okay, I have to do this. I can do this, whatever. And you forget that you have to take care of yourself too. And we don't give ourselves compassion, self-compassion. We don't give ourselves kindness. We don't even forgive ourselves sometimes because sometimes you make something happen and say, oh my God, that was so stupid. Why did I do that? Why am I so stupid? Why do I keep doing these things? And you don't realize that you criticize yourself because we have a self-critic. And the more we criticize ourselves is the more we diminish who we are. And you have to step back and tell myself, well, listen, if a friend acted the same way that I acted, how would I be? I would try to be understanding. I would, talk. I would, be soothing to the person if something happened to them. I would try to understand why did it. So why can't you do it to yourself? Why can't you sit down and say, well, Lisa, why did you get irritated? Why were you upset? Everybody makes mistakes. You're not perfect, and we are all imperfectly human. And okay, yeah, maybe I was too rushed. Maybe I wasn't thinking about what I said and I just reacted instinctively. Or maybe I had went in with a presumption that this is how it's supposed to be, or this is how that was supposed to be. And you'll say, okay, I will make a note next time, I will try to remember to slow down and think about things. And whatever. Now, if you could do that for somebody, why can't you do that for yourself?
Yeah, we treat ourselves the worst. Like, we're the worst to ourselves. Like, I know, it's so true. I say that to people all the time, and then I find myself doing it. Like, I am my worst critic. I am the person who puts the most pressure on myself. There's nobody else telling me to do stuff but myself, ultimately. And so I mean, I'm trying to flip that script on in my own life, and I'm really trying to tell myself positive things and give myself that grace and treat myself like I would my best friend, so
You
important.
are your best friend because when you think about it, you are with yourself 24 hours a day. Yes, you
I
may be
know, I
married.
can't get
Yes,
rid
you may
of
have kids. Yes, you may be
it.
spiritual or whatever, but you are with yourself 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
And you have to learn that you have to, what you give to others, you have to give to yourself first and foremost. You have to forgive yourself when you make mistakes. You have to show yourself self-kindness. You have to show yourself compassion. You have to acknowledge when you are wrong. You have to know when you're criticizing yourself also. You know, like you might say, oh God, why did I eat that another piece of cake? Why did I do that? I thought I was supposed to, you know, I was thought I said only one piece or whatever. And so, okay, yeah, it happened. I did eat it. It's already done. I will just learn from it and probably write a note to myself. Okay, only one slice of cake or whatever. You know, but you have to learn to forgive yourself and give yourself some slack sometime. And while self-criticism is good, and while pushing yourself and having this inner drive is very, very good, at the same time, you don't also neglect that to grow as a person, you have to be whole. You have to have balance. And that is the most important thing in life. You must be balanced. Because it can't be that I'm only pursuing a job or I'm only involved in, okay, I'm going to be active. I'm going to pursue a job. I'm going to be this. I'm going to attain this. Basic. Yeah, but you have to realize too that you don't live in isolation and things won't follow exactly your plan. So you have to leave room whilst you are striving for something, for things to happen or for delays or for fallbacks or step backs. And that's where your emotion comes in, because you see, you have to give yourself room to see a struggle or a drawback or a painful experience, not just as something that is coming against you. Because when you do look back, you realize that everything, whether it's major, whether it's minor, that has happened in your life that you didn't like, in some shape or form, gave you a stepping stone to see something about yourself and to either correct it, or at least you note it, and probably do something about it or find another direction.
Yeah, everything happens for a reason, most definitely. And I think we've talked about this on a couple of our episodes together, that the hardest, toughest, difficult, most difficult seasons are the ones where you learn the most about yourself. It's those lessons that open doors and let the light shine in. So without the difficult seasons and the things that are painful, we wouldn't grow. We would just be stuck in a cycle. So I really do have a lot of belief that those difficult times are the best thing for us, even though they may seem really, really hard in the moment. Eventually, you can see the silver lining. So it's not, and I'm not at all saying that it's easy to go through trauma, because it's not, but I am saying that you've learned to really appreciate little things after you've begun healing, and you learn about who you actually are in the process. So I guess just something that life is, right? Like, it's what life is about.
Yeah, it is, but we can heal our body if we get an accident, if we have an illness because of everything. I mean, yeah, most illnesses can be healed through medication and careful monitoring and stuff like that, and you know, bones and stuff. We can do replacements and everything. But emotions are something that live in us. And you won't be balanced if your body is healed and your mind is going on a certain trend, unless you start actually having an awareness of everything that you feel. And that is something that's important, especially if you go through a painful experience like a trauma or a loss or a breakup or something that deeply touches you that spins your whole world around. Now, to heal from emotions, that's what most people say to heal. But to learn to manage your emotions and to move forward, especially from a traumatic experience, you have to do things. You have to acknowledge. First, you have to be aware of what happened. You have to acknowledge that this actually happened. This is what I'm feeling. I am feeling. You have to face what you're feeling. You can't say, well, The person, whatever this happened, and okay, you have to face what you are feeling because you have to identify what you are feeling. You know, whether it's anger, whether it's rejection, whether it's hurt, whether it's pain, whether it's disappointment, whether it's despair, anxiety. You have to identify where it comes from. And then once you do that, then you can start to say, well, this is what I feel. This is where I am right now. My life is not going to be the same again, but I don't want to be stuck here. I don't want to be in this place. You know, and when you start doing that step by step, it will take a while because it is not an easy process and it's scary, and nobody wants to know that they went through something that's going to change their life and things are not going to be the same again, and I have to do different things now. And once you start feeling and recognizing what is happening, then you can start to take small steps. You know, like I told you, go outside, take a walk, journaling, you know, get involved, do something that you find enjoyment in. And that will help set you back in line so you can reflect. Because once you get back in balance, then you can reflect and say, okay, I was feeling really, really horrible. You know, where did this come from or whatever? You know, yes, I was angry with my loss or the trauma that I went through and things like that and stuff. But do I want to remain in this space? How is not trying to get better? How is not trying to heal, in a sense, serving me? How am I benefiting from that? Do I want to heal? Am I willing to take the step to heal? You know, what do I think I can do when I feel overwhelmed? What can I do to anchor myself so that I can acknowledge what I feel, I can face what I feel, but at the same time, I can learn from them and I can learn to see where I am at. Because if we keep going around in the cycle of every time you feel bad, every time the hurt comes up, and every day you get up and you feel it, if you keep doing that, then you are shortchanging yourself because you have to realize that you are here, you are still present. You have a life, and the life is not just where you are right now. There's a lot more, and you have to learn to create this space for yourself. And no matter your situation, you have to learn to create this space for yourself because nobody's going to do it. There are no heroes, there are no saviors, there are no magic wands to wave. And it does take work to reach an emotional balance, especially when something happens.
When you say balanced, when you say live a balanced life, what does that mean to you?
When I say emotional balance, it means that you can learn how to experience something, enjoy it, or face the emotions that you have, and at the same time, know in yourself that it is good, whether it was bad, whether it was good, I can handle this, and I can come to a place where I can find contentment in myself. Because when we find emotional balance, what we're really looking for is something that, if something happens, to a degree, I know I can cope. Because every time I've gone through something, it gave me something. Say you had a quarrel with someone, you learned something from that, didn't you? You understand emotions, you are angry, you are upset, you sought to have like a mutual settlement or reach a point of agreement, you know? And that gave you strength because you realized in yourself that, okay, I got angry and maybe what I thought wasn't right. And when you learn to give, you learn to give. And when you reach an agreement with someone, you settle things in yourself too because you realize that my emotions are not confined to me alone because my emotions affect someone else. And other people's emotions affect me also. So you have to learn to deal with your emotions and with the emotions you get from everyone else too. So you have to learn to see it as it is, in that maybe somebody reacted the way because they were short-tempered. Maybe they had a bad day. They maybe had an issue on themselves. You know, you don't have to pin everything on yourself. You know,
Yeah,
and that's
for
where you learn
sure.
to, that's where you learn to balance. And by doing that and you stepping back and saying that, okay, maybe they meant it, maybe they were just upset about something. Maybe I said something wrong. Yes. Maybe they had something on their mind, and that's why things were the way they were. But you learn to, that way you see, you don't put blame on yourself. Now, if you actually said something and caused it, fine, then accept that. And you balance it. You admit when you are wrong and you balance it. And that's what emotional balance is about. It is about accepting, acknowledging, being aware, and being happy and finding compassion for yourself and forgiving yourself for things, that you think or you did wrong or things that happened to you. Because when you go from one extreme to the next extreme, you stress yourself out, and that causes a lot of issues, not just mental, but also physical. So it is important to tell myself, okay, I was wrong. I did this. I apologize. Don't go guilt trip. People like to go on these guilt trips and say, oh my God, I was so wrong. And they overdo it. And you see, once you overdo it, then
Doesn't
you
mean
find
anything
yourself
anymore.
spinning. Yeah, right,
Wow. So you've been through a lot in your life. You lost your husband. You were in your on your deathbed essentially a few times, and some higher power has kept you here, and you wrote stories, poetry about these topics. Can you tell us, the audience, a little bit more about that?
Well, to be honest, I always writing my head, my mind. Poetry especially. And then I was asked to focus on something, and I did. And the poems just kept coming. And I wrote a lot of them in a very short time. I decided to publish them. But when we're speaking about emotional balance, that's how I learned about it, in that my husband died, and then I had this really, really impactful thing happen to me, and everything came to a head. And I realized that I was not really doing the part with my emotions. So everything just overwhelmed. And I sat down and I took some time off from everybody, actually. You kind of withdraw from people and you don't want to talk to people and stuff like that. And I said, okay, Cindy, this is not good for you and this is not how you are. And I sat down and I started to write what I felt in me and what I went through and all the things that came up, thinking about, what I was feeling, the pain, the grief, the loss, the impact on everything. And the book, Grief is the Price You Pay for Love, came out. And I realized that really it is, that is what you do. Because once we love someone and once we connect to someone, we give a part of ourselves to them, and they become a part of us. And even if they are not with you, whether it's through death or breakup or distance or things like that, you can't eliminate or erase that part of you. It's not like you got a computer, you could just press delete and it's gone. You carry it in you. And unless you learn to really face the emotions that come up, because listen, it will come up when you least expect it sometimes. And that's what I wrote about, because things came up, honestly, that I never expected to come up. Things that are associated with when you feel lost and when you feel disappointed and when you feel anger and when you feel as if, you're deserted by everyone else because the one person you had who was part of you is no longer there, then you kind of think about all the other people who left your life or when you were disappointed. And as you go through each emotion, because you do go through a myriad of emotions, and as you go through each emotion, you'll find that you draw memories from other people that were in your life or other things that happened. And that came up in the book. And that's why I said, it is not your normal book about grief and loss. Because it isn't dealing primarily with, how you're supposed to feel and what stages of grief are. and you know how to cook, because you don't really learn to cook. You don't really learn to heal. You learn to manage, because I could be fine for a long time, and you know I could be managing, and everything seems to be okay. You know, I'm doing stuff. I'm writing. I'm doing podcasts, and then a song will play, or I saw something, and you remember. And everything comes back in, and I think about myself, oh my God. Okay, fine. And you realize that it's not, the person might not be there in your life, whether it's a breakup or loss or what, there's somebody dying or whatever, but you do carry the memories, and those will remain in you until you die. And that's how I started writing, and that's what came out, and that's why I wrote. And like, there are things you can do, like I mentioned, there are things you can do, you know, journal, talk to friends, go out. But one thing I do realize is that sometimes as time passes, people seem to think that, you know, you have your emotions under control, you know, and that you seem to be managing, so you think. But emotions are things that we have to balance, and that I acknowledge what I had, I acknowledge what I lost, I acknowledge the distance. I acknowledge the absence. I acknowledge the tangible feel of someone. You know, that you don't have that. You don't have the tangible feel. You don't have their presence. You can't hear their voice. You can't see them. And what you have the memories, yes. And all you feel is that loss inside of you. So you tell yourself, well, I tell myself actually, I said, you know, I'm gonna honor what I had. What the memories were. I'm gonna honor the things we did together, the words we spoke. I'm gonna honor, you know, the songs I hear. I'm gonna honor the, you know, the thoughts that flit through your mind and the things that made me smile. And I'm not going to stop or try to push it aside and say, okay, well, this person is gone now. They're not in your life or whatever. I will remember it, yes, and but I would choose to remember the good. There were bad things also, but you choose to remember the good things. You don't want to remember the pain and the anguish because that is in you anyway. But if you focus on the good things, that's how you get emotional balance, because you know the loss, you know the pain, you know the anger, the disappointment, the resentment, so whatever you anxieties, whatever you're carrying you. But you can also remember the good things, how you smiled, you know. So when you learn to treasure the good more than the bad, and sometimes people would say to you, like, you know, why are you still bringing this up about this person? Why are you still talking about this person? You know, I said, well, they were a part of my life, and this is my way of honoring them because of my connection to someone. And I want to honor their memory, and I want to know that they had an impact in life, and I want to know that this is not, you know, going around and living in the past. This is accepting the absence and remembering the person still, because you carry it with you always.
Where can we find your book?
Both books, the poetry book, Pieces of Me, Touch My Soul by Cindy, that is on Amazon.com. And also, Grief is the Price You Pay for Love, Run Into the Fire, Discover Me in the Ashes. That I wrote under a pseudonym, which is Faye Allion, and that is also on Amazon.com. And
Beautiful.
Balboa Press is supposed to be doing some market, so they're supposed to start a marketing campaign soon, I think, on a lot of the social sites.
Beautiful. So it was amazing getting to see you today. Thank you for being here. Do you have any last minute thoughts on emotions for our audience before we say goodbye?
Your emotions are your own. And nobody can control your emotions except you. And you owe it to yourself. And I say owe it to yourself to know these emotions, face them, deal with them, step forward if you're in a difficult situation, if you're feeling something very deeply, face it. It's all right. You're human. It will be bad. It will be pain. But you owe it to yourself to become who you are meant to become and to grow, because we do grow from everything that happens. And there is an incredible freedom in seeing where you are and wanting to heal and wanting to see what it is in you that you've hidden or what you possess inside of you.
Thank you so much again for being here today.
Thank you. It was very good.
Amazing. And to our audience, thank you for being here. I am a true believer that everything happens for a reason. So I will echo what Cindy just said. My name is Lisa Urbanski. You just heard from Cindy Dalai. This is The Advisor. We are signing off for now. Again, have a wonderful evening and thank you. Bye.
Bye.